Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight's breath taken with so much delight. To dream of you is not enough. I yearn to see you every morning when I open up my eyes. To spend the rest of my life with you in sight. May I, sing songs of love to you transposed from poems you've inspired to write. Break this pen, fill it with gold, make the tip silver with the purest of ink I deliver. Sky writings in the clouds, spoken words of love to you. Release thousands of beautiful butterflies, every colorful species of. Romantically set free from the heavens, dozens of champagne-flavored white doves. In your eyes I peer in deep. Visions, hopes, dreams of, emotions wash over like some exotic ocean. The sounds of seagulls and golden pigeons take me away to far-off pavilions. As ears well in tuned with love listens as love sings. Words of elegance and magical things, strings. Those to my heart are pulled, led by your touch. You gently touch me. I'm touched and it's tickling. Stone me, bumblebee, I'm stone. Love sick, don't heal me. Put it in a bottle and pass some out to everyone. An epidemic, let it spread in a field of roses, pink, purple, burgundy, and red. I'd lie you down and take you to bed. Kiss your precious lips softly as I tell you goodnight. Tonight's breath I take with so much delight. To dream of you is not enough. Can I see you every morning when I open up my eyes? To dream of you, I yearn to see you every morning when I open my eyes. To spend the rest of my life with you in sight. May I sing songs of love to you transposed from poems you've inspired to write. Break this pen, fill it with gold, make the silver tip with the purest ink I deliver it. Sky writings in the clouds, spoken words of love's out loud to you. Releasing thousands of beautiful butterflies. Every colorful species of, romantically set free from the heavens, dozens of champagne-flavored white doves. In your eyes, I peer in deep, visions, hopes, dreams of.
Body chemistry emits. That brown skin mixture is heaven's magic. The love language through our eyes, because we just knew without speaking that nothing need be said. I want my evermore to be my forevermore, forever. Yes. Holding hands and nights of just kissing all night. I learn what you teach as we teach we, because we're all that be black love and how we understand the imperative importance of the continuation of us. I don't just want to be in black love. I want him, we, us, to be of it. Because black love is like a spell of enchantment from a glowing star in far southern skies. Black love is family, loving everything African about each other and ethnicity, allowing each other to be ourselves, sexually giving each other what we need and want, morally supporting each other's gifts and dreams, romantically showing the love we have through dating like it's a new relationship, and lastly, accepting each other's past as well as to come, unconditionally.
Delusional to think that you feel the same about me as I feel about you? Did you know that as my love breathes, I can taste your scent? It flows into me on the air as it rides in the wind. Us is what I trust. We're a rhythm within a rhyme, a sun that brightens the day, an illumination from the moon that shines light on the darkest corners of life and its shadows. But love, for me, is delusional. But is it delusional? I'd walk through the rising fire and crawl inside the dancing flame, cover my eyes in burning cold, choke on the ashes, dust gray, just to be in reach of seeing your face. And for the rest of time, I'd endlessly go with you, next to me, by my side, to live a life with you a life to live, to build a new tomorrow begins with the choices made today, a catalyst for conviction to never let this fade, not even a single degree forever in a moment, each moment for eternity, off of my lips the skin peels, as I pray we never lose our way or stumble aimlessly with a blind eye, and that we will always rise from the twisted tormentors, the morbidly fake, and away from the stench of those who have decayed. You can trust me. You can believe that I will never make a single promise or utter a word about out loud to give even one vow to which I would not adhere. Can't even spell the word betray, let alone fling it around. No more distractions exist. Set forth with a purpose. No more selfish inhibitions exist. Set us on solid ground. Cast aside the righteousness. Cast aside their blinding lies. Fill up the fake with dirt, then let them suffocate in the water. So they're the only ones covered in filthy false pride. My heart's pulsing life. My heart continuously bleeds. My heart, it never fades. Passion crawling on my skin, moving slow and then sinking in. My bones deep within. For me, it seems delusional. But is it delusion that love is a fuel for my fire? The darkest sweet desire, a pleasant burning artery veins with a fantasy dancing on the tips of the rising flames. A selfless act, a conscious thought, a realm with reason, a bullet buried deep in the center of my brain. Is it delusional to think you feel the same? I don't think it's delusional.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was our first track breakdown. The first three tracks in a row that we opened the show with this evening. Happy to have you here. Glad that you decided to spend your Saturday evening with us. Tonight, we're going to be having an open and frank conversation about sex and intimacy. We're glad that you're here to be with us. Our first track was by For Real the Poet, and that was Temptations by Perla Negra with Black Love, Elizabeth Carpenter, and It Is Delusional was track number three. We are not DJs, we are PJs, palm jockeys. Those are the three tracks we opened up this evening with. Partner, how you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good, Gina. I'm feeling pretty good, you know. I was kind of wondering how this was going to go. You know, we had started this whole theme of love and heartbreak since we've been really over here at Epiphany. It's been kind of driving it home. We did the thing on sensuality last week, and that showed that, you know, that what we've established here is actually working, you know. So let's go ahead and take it to the next level. We'll go ahead and talk about intimacy and communication. A lot of times, a lot of steps get missed, not even purposely either. This is not a show to go ahead and point fingers and say, like, this group of people is bad or this group of people is bad. But, Gina, we're going to go ahead and talk to them about things that we can do that we know are good, the things that the callers are going to call in with and add to the pot. You know, we all know a little something. We're just going to try to go ahead and throw together what we know in this little poetry community that made it here to Epiphany tonight.
I love you, Jet. Everybody has something to bring to the pot. We do. We all have experiences, relationships, and that doesn't make us we're not a novice because we've all been through it. We are not a professional because we don't do this for a living, but we are people, and this is part of the human experience. So I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to go ahead and do this free will of exchange. We're going to go ahead and actually bring in everybody that has their hand up currently right now. Are we going to find out who they is,
that.
Gina? We're going to take it from there.
Let's go, partner.
This telephone number, I should know it by heart, but this telephone number right here, I'm going to go ahead and let this person speak for themselves. A man who needs no introduction. Give your introduction, sir.
It's C-34 Music. Should have been watching the dunk contest and the three-point shootout, but I love poetry.
Is it that time of year again? Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Man. Wait, man, we're going to get in about this intimacy and communication, man. I'm sorry. You have a sister that's here on the stage, too, man. I'm trying to work on my social skills, brother. They charge it to the social skills and not the brain.
Wait a minute. You trying to work on your social security skills?
That's what it sounds like. My AARP skills. Jimmy, you there?
Baby girl.
I did the rollout for and everything, and she still left me hanging.
I was on mute. I'm so sorry.
Uh-huh.
I love you guys. Oh, C-34 Music, you're always first in line. Appreciate that about you, big brother. I can always count on you. You, Dexter, have not ever disappointed or let me down. And the fact that you are bypassing, is it the All-Star game?
That's tomorrow night. It's the dunk contest
and
the three-point shootout, which is more important than the dunk contest. But, you know.
I think so, too.
I love
poetry. I think that's a skill set right there. In and of itself, everybody can't dunk. Everybody would like to. Everybody can't shoot a three shot accurately, but they would love to. So I love the fact that you chose poetry in us.
Yes, I did. And I thank you for allowing me this space to be with you.
Appreciate that. Appreciate that. So what are your thoughts on intimacy, and how does one keep that alive? Because you're married, and you have been before. I know that there were things that happened in your first marriage that weren't ideal, but right now you're happy and having a productive relationship. What do you think is the difference between that and this in regards to how you communicate your love languages?
My first marriage was a marriage that was not ordained, nor I should have ever got into, because I did not hear, I ignored the small voice that was telling me, turn around, don't do it. So between that and this bliss that I have right now, which was hard work, I was a hoe. Let's just be real. I was a Michael Jackson, can I come down there and sing to you, hoe?
Hear, hear.
But intimacy,
don't salute that, Jay.
Oh, no, I was just saying, here, here. Bad Clarence. Bad Clarence.
Hey.
There you go.
I was looking for nub in all the wrong places. That's basically what I was doing, and I felt sex was love.
For what?
Yeah, looking for nub.
So there were some things that you learned during that time, during that period of time.
Yeah.
As far as yourself and a significant other. What did you learn during that time? Even though it may have been a bad situation, like you said, you had your own little foot in there also. What did you learn in between that time and this time?
I learned how to grow up as a man, and I learned how to say no. That's pretty much what I learned. I mean, all the trials and tribulations I went through, and I take responsibility for it, but I learned that getting into this marriage, which will be 19 years coming up in May.
Congratulations.
I learned how to be a covering, how to take charge of what needs to be take charge of as a man, then from paying bills, to being the protector of this house, to just basically making the decisions. You know, she says that's the romantic piece of me. The fact that I am going to stand up, I'm going to be that ride or live husband to the point that I would die for this.
What's y'all love language, man? What's y'all love language, man?
Our love language is basically communication, eye contact, talking to each other, and hearing each other.
Wow.
No interruptions, no arguments, no debates. Because I don't do arguments, I don't do debates. Because if you do that,
does that help you to be more
somebody's
direct?
Gotta win. Somebody's got to win and somebody's got to lose.
Right.
I don't want her to lose. So,
my man,
I listen. That's the love language right there, to listen to each
other. It is. Moving.
I'll tell you what, brother, we're about to bring one more person up in here. I should know what this, whose number this is, 443. How about you?
Hey, good evening. It's Essentially Johnny.
Woo! What's going on with you, little sis?
I'm just sitting back listening, enjoying the music at the beginning and just the conversation so far. I'm good.
You were down with a cold and sickness. How are you feeling now, ma'am?
I'm still fighting it a little bit. It's been, oh, man, it's been 2 weeks. Just trying to linger, but I have more energy today than I did the day before.
All right, progressing, progressing. Currently we have on the stage Clarence and my partner in rhyme and my partner in crime, Gina Storm.
Hey, Gina. Hey, C-Double.
In the 90s kind of world, I'm glad I got my girl. What's up, Essentially Johnny?
Hey.
That part.
I love it.
You can't start that without singing it all the way through, Clarence.
Oh,
I'm sorry. But anyway, next time.
No, I'm waiting for her to do that.
No. I'll find the track on YouTube and play it for you.
Hey, Johnny, you're a very creative person. Johnny, you're a very creative person. What would you consider to be intimacy? It doesn't have to be in a sexual type of nature, or it can be, but what would you consider to be intimacy as far as how you see it?
I don't know. I guess the first thing that comes to my mind, like if it was word association, is closeness. And with that, I think there's trust, there's the willingness to listen, the willingness to share, and safety. Did I say safety already? But yeah, those are the things that come to mind.
If you said it twice, that would be cool too.
Hmm.
I said if you say it twice, that would be cool too. Second evening, come back around. Hey, oh yeah, by the way, safety. Is safety a big thing as far as what you can, a way that you can allow yourself to have intimacy?
Yeah, absolutely. Because when you know that you can be vulnerable, you're able to open up. Because the flip side of that is you feel that it's safer to withhold. And how close can you be if you're holding back or guarded, you know? So safety is important so that you're able to be able to share with that person.
Sweet, sweet. We appreciate you, Zanis. We're about to bring one last person in here. 573, how about you?
Hello.
573, how you doing?
I'm all right, man. It's disrespectful. Sorry, I was on mute. Just walking around the yard. Good evening, everybody.
Good, man. Have you been listening to what we've been talking about, sir?
Yeah. And okay, what's intimacy to me? It's been a long time. However, intellectual stimulation. When I get off the floor, you can't stimulate my mind, that becomes the trust point, right? And this appreciation point of it's more than flash that get me to dash. So there has to be an investment, and that investment starts with intellectual stimulation.
How did your view of intimacy change from when you were a young man to the man that you are now?
Greatly, I'd say. You know, when you're young, dumb, and full of run, you know, you miss certain aspects of adoration, the pursuit, the discovery, the glee, you know, the butterflies, and you mistake them for thrust when really what it begins and begets is trust and acceptance of different aspects of you. When you're younger, you don't get to understand these. But as you get older, and you either have it nurtured properly or have it withered in nitrogen eulogies, you begin to understand these things with acceptance and awareness, and they become a whole new level.
Hey, I love that reply. When you were saying that, it was giving me the image of when you're young, you have a lot of energy to be very wasteful, but as we become older, we become more more like snipers rather than shotgun blasters. I feel you on that, too. All right, Sinister, we have essentially Janice, my partner Gina Storm, C-34 already in here. Am I missing anybody?
Sounds
all
like
right. Nobody spoke up.
That's us so far.
The hand raised poets and us, partner.
Sweet, sweet. There's another number out there. If you want to raise your hand, go ahead and press 1, and 1 will allow you to raise your hand if you want to be a part of this discussion. All right, C-34, you are a married man. Tell us, how does intimacy change from the point when you first meet a person? And it's not a literal honeymoon, but it's like a figurative honeymoon that you're going through. Until, you know, as the relationship starts to mature, how does it mature, brother?
That's the point. It's still maturing. I mean, after, like I said, after almost 19 years, it's still maturing. And it has to be within yourselves, because you're coming as two individuals, two different kind of points of view, and you're trying to become one flesh. Now, can that happen instantly? No. Were there times where it could have went a different way, where it could have broken up? Sure, it could have. But if we're willing to work at it, that is what love is. I mean, a lot of people go for the romance. Romance to me is a performance. And yeah, you have to give the performance at times. But to be real, you got to be love. So how do we get the intimacy? Just like I told you, you got to listen to each other. You got to give space to each other. You have to be yoked with each other. That's pretty much how it goes. And if you're dedicated to the vows that you gave to God and you don't break those vows, you're on your way.
Yeah. I had a cousin who used to have too many options all the time, so he pretty much did whatever he wanted to do. Once he got to a point where he had less options, he was able to go ahead and commit to the one person. Sinister Spittle, I'm going to ask you the same question I had asked Clarence. How has intimacy changed? Oh, I already asked you that. Let me go ahead and move to my partner, Gina. Gina, how has intimacy changed from the time when you were a young woman to the woman you are today?
Wow. As a young woman, I don't think I understood intimacy. I think that what I thought was intimacy was something completely different than what it actually is. I told people this often going into new relationships, that I was not a person who was demonstrative when it came to affection. Like, I hug and kiss my mom. I kiss my mom good morning and good night every day. I kiss my daughter and hug her every time I see her, and when we part, my grandchildren as well. But in romantic relationships, I never thought that that was a necessity. Why? I don't know. I think it was because that intimacy and that kind of connection wasn't afforded to me. So I would be with people that, and this is legit, like first marriage, this is a memory from it. If my husband's touching me, he wants sex. But if I'm not getting that, even he put his hand over my hand or his arm around me or helped me with my coat or pulled out my chair, that he was just being a gentleman or this was just the kindness that he was showing, it always would be the way that he would initiate sexual contact. So I think I purposely knew that that was not intimacy, but I also unwillingly would not give it without knowing whether or not it was going to be reciprocal. It was kind of taxing for me. So I just stopped being affectionate in romantic relationships. That's something that right now I need to work on, because previously I did not do it openly, nor did I expect it. Any level of intimacy, I thought that it was just an invitation for sex. So it's hard now for me to say that out loud, but the reality is that has molded and shaped me into the woman that I am today.
Oh, I love that answer beyond all answers in the world. Now you didn't
it's true.
Kind of
is that my
over.
Truth?
Hey, I'm feeling it too. My next question is, how do you communicate? Or is it even possible to communicate with a person who may be, as a young man, he may be headstrong, he may believe these certain ways, his hormones may be driving him. Is it the Gina that is here today, now today, with the experience that she has, would you be able to communicate that better than the younger Gina would, that is actually causing the problem instead of helping it?
Oh, wow, that's heavy. Okay, so I will have to say this. When my daughter's dad and I got married, when we started dating, the dating and the courtship, I felt like he did what he was supposed to do in order to woo me. And when he proposed marriage, I accepted because I thought that this was going to be the thing that I needed. I needed other things that I wasn't aware of. And as I became more aware of what my needs were, I became more vocal in making sure that I received the things that I needed. And whenever I was in a situation where I did not get those things, I immediately would disconnect. Like, there's no further conversation to be had. You don't understand the math. This is what I need. I'm saying these things, these words that I'm speaking to you, and if you still physically cannot give me what I need, then I need to continue to look, because you're not him. Kissed a lot of frogs along the way. Didn't get any warts, but definitely could see that there were people like, and I have to use Janice's word, safety. Safety is amazing. When you feel like, and it's not just the protection of a man, you know, if there's a noise in the house, he's going to be the one to get up and see what it is. But I always felt like in my relationships, if I got to do everything, I need to be by myself. Because why are you here? Because the things that you're doing aren't beneficial to my overall health and well-being, my security, or my feelings of what I have communicated as to what I need. So I probably got a little rough around the edges, a little more pushback was given. Because there was a time when I just, if it felt right, I moved with it. And it can't be just a feeling. I have to see with my eyes. I have to feel with my heart. I have to know it in the depths of my soul that you're my person and you got me. And if not, then I'm going to keep it moving. And always felt like men would see this as me being a runner. Like, she's not engaged. She doesn't care. She's just doing this to see what she can get. It's not about what I could get. It's what I deserved. I deserve what I'm giving. And if I'm not receiving it, then I know that it's not being served here. I don't have a problem with backing my chair away from the table when love's not being served. So it's not that I would rather starve. I would rather sit at a table where love's being served. I'm serving up love. And if you who serve cannot, then I need to keep it moving.
Love it. Love it all. Janice, communication and intimacy. How different is the young Janice as opposed to the current Janice we have now?
You know, my experiences practically mirror what Gina was talking about. I was pretty young when I got married, and what I had been exposed to up until then, I feel like I had a limited view of.
Were you very idealistic about what you thought it should be?
A little bit, but not based on any real life examples. You know, I was a reader, and so a lot of what I looked for came from, you know, novels and things that I read. even though I recognized that, you know, these were just stories, I still, you know, subconsciously looked for certain things. And I didn't really know how to communicate. I would go quiet when I felt unheard, when I felt like, when I realized that I was in situations where I didn't feel safe.
Right.
I would share, and then I would have those things that I shared kind of be used as weapons. And so I learned to stop sharing. And I don't know, like I definitely became very closed off. I sound soft, but I am not really that soft because I'm so guarded. But that comes from a place of fear. And so older me hasn't really had a chance to experience that softness yet. In all honesty, like I really don't know how I would be. What I do now is I'm in receptive mode. I listen to those who are in relationships that are working, those who are working at their relationships, and I take notes. And I feel like I'm a student. I pay attention to what's working, and I'm learning for whatever the future may bring.
Oh, wow. That's incredible. Sinister Spittle, sir. How does the younger Sinister Spittle handle? I'm gonna ask you this thing. I don't think I quite arranged the question this way. But how does the younger Sinister Spittle differ from the older Sinister Spittle as far as intimacy goes, and even to get that to happen as far as communication?
Well, let me pick up something that Shani said real quick. And this is a good realization, especially for us creatives that did a lot of reading and did a lot of listening to music, right? So regardless of the environment we grew up in, like, you know, mine was chaotic and whatnot, but I listened to all this music and I read all these books that gave me an ideal of love. So the young me looked for that and an escape and arrogance and ignorance and then you get married for 23 years, right? And not the healthiest relationship, but it is what it is. And so now here we are 2 years removed. And it's not so much that I fear it. I desire it, but I know I need it, especially to nurture the wounds that I'm healing on my own, but you can't do this on your own, right? So now you have to find a new trust and a new honesty and intimacy. And that's why I say, you know, because the first year was chaotic as all hell, and I thought that, you know, I would just be everything that I was accused of being, and I found no happiness in that. There's no intimacy in that. That's what I call aimless penetrations. So now, a year removed from all that chaos, 2 years removed from everything, a year on my own and reflection, it all begins with, you know, intellectual stimulation. I am aware of myself. I know who I am, you know, and I'm the constant evolution. If we're not, then you're stuck in the mire and I have no time for you. So I'm very cautious in my dealings, and they're few and far between, and they need to be more so I'm not so jaded and bitter. I understand that. And this is the evolution of discovering intimacy and allowing an openness to strangers to gain a little bit of that trust and that intimacy. And intimacy is as simple thing as communication, understanding, paying attention, to small, fine, you know, details. There's no lust in an absent touch. To be intimate, to me, you have to be more than depth of the eyes, heart and soul, mind and body.
I'm sorry, Dan. Can you say that again? If no, what?
Mind and body. That's the more than
me
in
an absolute
mind and body.
Wow.
Hey, this discussion is going pretty good, huh, Gina?
Much than I anticipated. This is awesome. Yes.
Yeah, I think we're ready for it. C-Double, we're going to go ahead and go into a commercial when we come back, but do you mind doing a piece of poetry for us, sir?
Sure, I can do one.
My man. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we will be back with y'all. We got to go ahead and pay a couple of bills. We're probably going to play a track or something like that. And then, we'll be back with y'all in just a moment. All y'all mics are hot. Y'all know the routine. Y'all can go ahead and mute them at y'all own leisure, but I'm going to leave y'all hot tonight.
Dear love, thoughts and memories are leaking from my eyes down my face. I'm a wreck, and it shows up all over the place. I've been trying to hold myself together, but I'll be honest with you, I'm not doing a very good job. I see people who are related to me being put in situations that they needn't be. If a person who says that they love you will hit you, call you a bad name or pull out a gun, then that is not love. No, sir, ma'am, not for anyone. I've been emotional since I returned home. I've been lonely without you and I feel alone. My body craves your touch and I miss you so much. We're best friends, making new poetry and memories, forming a great bond and building a family. I'm blessed to have you in my life, and I'm grateful that you asked me to be your wife. I wrote this piece when I met the last man who proposed to me, and I'll be honest with you, I don't really have any ex-boyfriends, just husbands and fiancés. I'm blessed, and I know this. I don't take anything for granted, and I hope that it shows. See, every breath that I breathe, every beat of my heart, maybe my last, who knows? Tomorrow isn't promised to anyone. So I give people their flowers while they're living. I don't want to have regrets when you've gone on to be with the Lord. And I'm sorry, that's just the beginning. I've lost so many. I took so many L's. I lost people who were in their infancy of life and didn't even get to grow into who they were meant to be. So more than anything else, I love my friends and my family. I'm blessed to have you in my life, and I'm so happy that God decided that once again he would allow me to become a wife. I can't wait to be with you again. I've been basking in the sun and the moon. That's your light where everything is bright. So thanks, baby. Safety is amazing. This passion is electric. We are polar opposites, yet it is magnetic. I prefer to love without fright, and you made me know it was okay. So I will do it one more again, and pray this time I finally get it right. I'm Gina Storm. Thank you for listening.
See, I am not competing with you. I have no desires whatsoever to win against you. Not because we are not in the same lane, but because we exist on the same plane with enough legroom for us all to crawl, walk, and run when it's our time. To be in competition with you would be to disrespect my own free will and let yours be the wills that drive my intentions. So, respectfully, I have no intentions of occupying the passenger seat of your dreams, but should you need a push, I'll gladly be a propeller. I am not competing with you. You are woman, I am woman, we walk the same earth, yet there's grace to your step, there's a swing to your hips that mine just don't do. They say I walk with a lick or bounce, kinda like the mandem with conviction. Sometimes they even ask me how I identify, so I tell them it is she who birthed me from her womb, he who raised me from him, the tangle with words I learned from them. A dragon spitting fire was groomed, genetically threaded to DNA sequence that dates back to the oldest civilization known to mankind, where women like you and I raised nations. So I have every intention of raising you, and if you so please, you too can raise me. Maybe together we can raise a nation of giants that trod gracefully. See, I am not competing with you. You are man, I am woman. There is no need to lie. A constellation from the same sky, I know with mutual respect we could both fly. And yes, I know sometimes you want to cry. In those times, I have every intention of encouraging the pouring supply of healing waters the cosmos gifted your eyes with. I'll call you king, you call me queen. I'll be the eyes behind your head that you weren't meant to open until now. You'll be the eyes I trust to see ahead because, you know, I'm legally blind. And this one, your 2020 vision arrived just in time for me to resign to my third eye. So following you, I don't mind. To mind would be to question my own judgment. The confidence in me knows I'm dope as fuck, which makes you dope as fuck. So we solid as a rock. You be the rock and I'll be the gentle ground it lays upon. So what competition? This is the age of coalition, of those with vision who need no permission to trust intuition, and not the fiction of set conditions by the opposition on their television. For this mission to reach fruition, one must transition, turn the ignition to premonition, and overstand position is the only ammunition against a system of prescriptions that lead to addictions, which create juxtapositions of fallacious ambitions that only create distractions for distraction from the inborn manual of true instructions, intuition. Not the standardized institutions they call education, founded on unethical omissions of the natural dispositions. So once again, what competition? This is the age of coalition, of those with vision who need no permission to trust intuition. Welcome to the co-edition.
Take your socks off at Epiphany Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, in that poetry break, we had myself, Gina Storm, thank you, partner, with Dear Love and Scenario with No Competition. We're so happy that you decided to join us this evening at the For Real Entertainment Network and For Real Universe here at Epiphany Radio. Call in number is 319-527-6300. Press 1 if you'd like to join the conversation. We're here having a grown discussion about what communication, love, and intimacy look like and how we can make it better. How you doing, partner?
I'm doing pretty good. That was a dope piece that you went ahead and led that off, that poetry break off with, and Scenario followed up, but ain't no competition. That's going to be the vibe we're going to be working tonight for real.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, Clarence, I'm going to go ahead and bring in 5-7. No, I'm going to bring them in after you go ahead and go, brother. With that being said, C-34 Music, sir, the mic is yours.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you, my sister. It's all in the mind. Let me freak your mind frequently with what you feel inside. Feel me. Nourish me with words. Feel my flow as we make sweet love instrumental. The notes scribbled in your melodies compelled me to ecstasy, where I levitate vertically on purpose, fervently as we worship God. consummating thoughts as we combine our intertwining souls, becoming one in this merger of higher learning in electrical circuitry. Girl, I feel. Outside this commercial field, we work to be immersed in here without surgery, naturally, emphatically, in untapped happiness as you grasp how you captured me way past romantic things that can't describe your fantastic vibe. I'm attracted and attached to your mind. Your mental capacity and the facts reveal actually we managed to impact this marriage of one. Let no man put asunder. I want you. Baby, I want you. I desire you now. You are constantly on my frontal lobe, medulla oblongata, cerebellum. You're on my mind. It's evidence to the point of everything to where I crave you sexually. As I've learned to swim in your wet dreams, I'm telling you, it's all in the mind. Now would you let me? Let me merge with your mind frequently, with what you are inside. Feel me. Nourish me with words. Feel my flow. As we make sweet love instrumental, we are meant to be one. That's my piece.
Oh, my goodness. That's how you got it.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't brought the receipts with him. That's how I got it. Bro. Pretty early on in it, you talked about the nourishing you with the words as we intertwine our souls in you, immersed in her, attached to her mind. Let me put asunder. You was bringing scriptures out. God was interwoven into this quite a bit too, man. You are constantly on the front of my mind, and you was talking about your Abdullah Angada, and you was talking about how she was right there in the front of your mind, literally the front of your brain. I'm loving all of this, man. Bro, I'm going to ask you a question about you hit on a couple of things in here. Probably not purposely, or I may be reading too much into this, but you were actually talking about foreplay as far as like the connection of two people mentally. When does foreplay start, Clarence?
The minute you hit the door.
Mm.
The minute you see her. The minute you say hello or good morning, God bless you.
Mm-hmm.
That's when foreplay begins.
Wow. I was hearing inklings of that in your poem too, sir. Let me find out where this alarm is coming from. Gina, can you take this for a moment?
I just wanted to throw out there that I liked the thought that you said as far as being attracted and attached to her mind. That was beautiful.
Thank you so much. You know, the funny thing about this poem, it was originally a song I wrote, but I just flipped it into a poetry mode.
Ah, beautiful.
Lyrics are lyrics.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Most definitely.
The best song lyric
is "Hold Your Own." For sure. For sure. Sorry about that, too. Clarence, so how long did it take you to get to this point right here, man? Because this right here is kind of in the field of what we're talking about, the communication. But there's a lot in between there. One thing I had found out about I'm not going to say my wife. I'm going to say about women in general. sometimes when you're sitting there and you're having a heated conversation, answers is not the thing that they want. Even though they're asking questions, to give answers can be dismissive. If any of you ladies would like to speak to that, the table is open on that right there. Because this is a thing that a lot of men don't understand, and we're trying to talk about these different things on the opposite side that we do not understand, and it's implied that we should understand it. What is that when a woman wants to go ahead and say things, but she doesn't really want a man to go ahead and reply to that?
You know, I've honestly been working on doing the opposite of what's expected with that, because if I allow myself to sit with it, I will sit with it way too long. And sometimes I even forget. So I am trying to work on receiving those solutions better, you know, accepting those, even if I have to stick a pin in it. I mind less as far as being given those solutions earlier than I'm ready to receive them, because they're still needed.
Mm. Gina?
I have to say this. Sometimes I'm confused, but I don't have a problem asking a question. And a lot of times people say the only question that you need to ask is the one that needs to be asked, because you don't gain information if you don't ask questions. And a lot of times I may have questions, but I don't ask. I will either assume or get on the defense. I know that sounds terrible, but it's true.
Cool. And I'm not even for sure if I had tabled this question right. I'm going to go ahead and go into the whole scenario. One day, me and my wife were, she was angry. And she was expressing her anger. And as she was expressing her anger, she was going down through the list of things that she was angry about. And there was things in there that I had some quick, you know, answers for, just to find out that just because she's doing that doesn't mean that she wants my answers right then. I guess it was me being dismissive. I tell younger guys this all the time also. Like, if you're ever in this scenario, let her say what she has to say. Don't cut her off. Let her go ahead and get it out, even if she's asking questions, to go ahead and look past that until she's ready for you to actually speak. And there are a couple of different type of permissions. I've been learning a lot about permissions, and like our brother Clarence has been saying, as far as the listening goes, if you can't listen to what's going on in real time, you're going to have a hard time all the time as far as the communication with our significant others. I'm going to go ahead and let these other two callers in here. 573, how about you?
Ask me again, man. My daughter called, and she hung up before I did, so I accidentally hung up. So it's just real back.
Oh, damn. It was good to have you back, Sinister. All right, 445, how about you?
Good evening. Good evening, everybody. It's La Perla Negra. How y'all doing?
How you doing, La Perla Negra?
I'm good. I'm good. I almost missed the show. I decided I wanted to take a quick nap, and I woke up just now. I'm like, oh, dang, a whole hour to went in. Let me call in. Yo, I was all discombobulated. I was like, where is my notebook? I started pulling from my archives with my notebook. Do you know how far back that goes? Oh, my goodness.
I have no idea, but I'm quite sure that your notebook has the answers.
Yeah. I'm enjoying the
conversation. I'm going to go ahead and get you up to speed, Daniel.
Huh?
I'm going to go ahead and get you up to speed. We've been talking about relationships. We've been talking about intimacy and communication. The Danielle that was a young lady just learning about the world, how different is she from the Danielle now as far as intimacy is concerned?
Are you talking about intimacy as a whole or one particular area?
As a whole. It could be with your neighbor. It could be with your loved one. It could be in between your children. But we were kind of sticking over in the way of relationships.
Okay. So for me as a young woman, I became very guarded because I come from a very toxic background, not just from immediate family, but from people that I considered to be good friends at one time. I used to feel like I was cursed because I'm like, why do people treat me like this? So it made me go into a shell. And I was married for a long time, and when I felt I could be open with my intimacy with my husband, even with tender moments with my children, he brought me to the point where I had to shut back down again because my husband was very toxic. So now that I'm older, I have no problem with intimacy on any level. I don't let everybody in because I have boundaries set up now. And those boundaries are not from me being afraid. It's from just the experiences in life. But if you know me, I'm very intimate with everybody that I talk to, that I do allow in. And the thing for me with that, because I'm a very passionate person, I'm a very tender person, how can I say? It's not that I don't trust. I know there are limits that I have to set for certain people. But any conversation with me and in a one-on-one conversation is a very intimate thing because people tend to share a lot with me because they know that I am a safe space of trust.
And you're also a nurturer as well.
I am very, very much a nurturer because I know what this world is missing. So I give love with everything that I do. And I wish I knew then what I know now. My life would be much different. It's just I'm just that kind of person where everybody can get on a level of intimacy with me where they just feel like they're at home with me, regardless of whether you're a friend. Well, I ain't had no love in some years, but that's just how I am. I am a very intimate person. I'm very passionate. I'm very loving. Like you said, I'm very much a nurturer. And I like me this way. So that's where, because I haven't, you know, I kind of miss the physical touch because I choose to.
Is that one of your love languages?
Everything I do is a love language. Yep.
Well, on top of like your automatic love languages, where would that go ahead and rank in there as far as touch?
As far as touch?
Yeah, what's the ranking that you would give it as far as all your love languages?
Touch is literally, it's like, I would rank it as number two because I am a very physical person. I'm touchy-feely because I grew up in a family of a lot of kids and I had a twin. So, and we were always together. We never had a problem with, you know, holding hands and hugging each other, sitting next to one another. That was never an issue. So, yeah. But my number one love language is talking and allowing people to feel like they can completely let their hair down, just be completely naked with me, mind, body, spirit, all of that.
Sweet, sweet. I'll tell you what, we're about to go into another poem because we are going to be doing actual poems today.
Okay.
Janice, were you open to doing a poem now, or is right now a bad time?
No, I'm good. I have one ready.
With that being said, Janice, the mic is yours. Everybody, mic is hot. Could you please mute your mics? Janice, the mic is yours.
Thank you. The freshly swept floor welcomes her bare feet as she cautiously pads towards the window. The softest of thuds following her dutifully. Her presence is her company. The newly birthed dawn welcomes her sigh. She can no longer deny the remnants of her dream, nor what defines her comfort. She jokes about her resistance, her insistence in knowing who's all going to be there. The dares she makes to herself that she easily reneges on, the thought of simply going, is already exhausting. There's an awareness of how one receives love, the sharing of space in meaningful ways, the reality that time spent is priceless. Two things are true, and there's balance imbued in such thoughtfulness. The quality of time one shares is love expressed. Recognizing the value of that time so as to not spill until spent allows love to charge. So she prepares her space, places onto the table items she's held in her hands, pages of verses written in privacy, the delicacy her heart still contains. What remains is who's all going to be there. Her discernment places her best interests onto that same table. Two things are true. Quality time is priceless, and she is too, essentially.
Oh, wow, I say she is priceless. This piece right here, this was an experience, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was,
You were trying to be more sociable, weren't you?
Say that again.
You were trying to be more sociable, weren't you?
Listen, first of all, I was speaking in third person on full level talking about myself, so that was hilarious. But it was a prompt for a show, and I want to say it was one of Epiphany's shows, and the prompt had to do with quality time, I think, and not neglecting that. And one of the things that my introverted self had to recognize was even though quality time is my primary love language, one of the things that I do counter that sometimes is that I isolate, which is wild because it counters what I need, you know? So it was a little bit of a struggle that I wanted to speak on, and yeah.
You know what I've seen in here, that there was a certain anxiety that was hanging over you, and you mentioned it a couple of times. It was, who's all going to be there? What is that feeling like?
My social meter battery depletes quicker the more people that are involved, and so I definitely peep out of space to see how crowded it is. I have a timeline of how long I may be in the space. And it's not reflective of the individuals there at all. It's just sometimes it's just too much. And there is a little bit of anxiety. I always have an escape plan. I will dip. And people don't even realize that I'm gone. By the time you realize I'm gone, I'm already home.
You know what? The reason why I had further explored that right there, because this is talking about intimacy. mm-hmm. and how you keep that guarded and how you just don't want to give it to the masses in that way. You said it can be exhausting.
Yeah.
You talk about the sharing of space is priceless, the quality of time shared. You talked about how she prepares her space. What was that about right there?
So for me, it definitely takes a whole lot of prep to allow that kind of exchange. That actually helps me be less anxious if I'm allowed to prepare. You can't just throw me in a deep end and say, get out of your comfort zone, because now I am more uncomfortable and I will leave. So I guess the point that I'm making is I recognize the need for that connection, but you also have to respect how a person receives that energy and how quickly it may actually deplete them. You can't disregard that for the sake of quality time. You have to find that balance. And that's what I'm working on, and I need that to be given as well.
Is that something to easy to communicate to another?
It is now. I didn't recognize it for years that that's what I needed, but I absolutely communicate that now. And I do better on one-on-one conversations. So it's something that I revisit, that I talk about, that I make clear. And I pay attention to when it's not received, even when I am clear. Because that's part of communication, right, too. It's not just saying what you need to say. It's paying attention to those nonverbal communication cues and not just talking, but you also have to receive what a person is telling you, too. So all of that is important to communication.
Thank you. Thank you. The nonverbal communication skills. Hey, Dennis the Spittle, sir.
Yes.
Talk to us about nonverbal communication skills and also being comfortable.
I'm uncomfortable all the time. So, see, I'm eccentric, so I tend to stay away from direct eye contact, but that's conditioning. But I know automatically that I'm going to come off abrasive or awkward to people because I'm comfortable with myself. And that's where, you know, the true heart of intimacy really lies, right, is being comfortable with yourself. And finding intimacy with another is defining equal. And it can be jarring to people, right? And she was speaking on, it's about being aware of yourself and then how you affect other people. And then an acceptance of it. Now, I don't have a lot of practice with that. So I spend more time alone than I do with other people, but I'm working on that.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming about.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a teeter and tightrope. It's one that you can conquer. You don't fail unless you lay in the ground and stop. So I can falter all the time, right? But as long as I'm paying attention to my falters, I'm never going to fail. And the success and intimacy is just that.
Brother.
I like that.
Appreciate you giving us this unique perspective that you had, that you were giving to us earlier about your loss as well, too, sir. My heart goes out to you about that. And also appreciate you talking about that. Because there are other people that are possibly dealing with the same thing.
I am nothing if I'm not myself, man. And sometimes, you know, and here's the thing, like my son taught me this verbiage a long time ago. I may not always like you. And I said this about myself. I may not always like me, but I always love me. And my son says the same thing. You know, Dad, I won't always like you, but I always love you. You know, fix your shit. And, he's a smart, wise young person. It's not about what you did, it's about what you're doing now. And, yeah, that's what I'm doing now.
Got you, got you. C-34 Music, talk to us about body language. You've been with the same person for 19 years. Talk to us about body language and something that could be helpful for the next man or woman.
Oh, I'm laughing at it because I'm seeing body language.
The crab leg pot that's sitting on the stove overnight.
Gina, you are live.
Yes.
I am sorry. All right. Let me mute myself. I need to gather myself because a terrible smell just took over my life. But I love y'all. Sorry, let me mute.
Okay.
I forgot I was hot. Go ahead.
No problem.
Love you, Dexter.
You know you could have kept on talking. You know I wouldn't have minded. But anyway, you can tell when a woman's upset. You can tell when something's wrong, but they don't want to talk about it. You can tell when she's ready to receive, she's ready to open up. You look in her eyes. You look at her mouth gestures. You look at how she's slumped over, how she's folding her arms. It's easy to see. But so many of us as men want to fix things. That's our nature. We like to fix things instead of just sitting back, being critically in thought, and just let her say what she has to say. And when she's ready to say it, let her do it. That's love. That's a love language, to be able to receive. You're going to judge. Don't sit there and say, don't judge. You're going to judge. But the thing about it is, judge righteously.
Right. Man, love that answer, brother. Love that answer. Danielle, this was a question that we had talked about earlier that you didn't get a chance to go into. When does foreplay start?
From the door. With me, I'm horrible. I'm terrible. I'm such a flirt. I flirt.
Does it start when you start flirting?
It starts when I see you and I'm attracted to you. I'll do little subtle things. I know the power that I possess. I know what I can do. So I will do little subtle things to get your attention. And I can always make somebody laugh. And that's pretty much when it starts with me. Then the conversation will kick in. That's foreplay for me. That is a must. When it comes down to foreplay, conversation that we have. I might say some slick shit here and there, you know. But it starts from, always foreplay for me, always. That's just how I am because I like to draw you into me.
Sweet. I tell you guys what, we're about to get ready to go to a commercial right quick. We're going to do one track and we're going to do a station identification, a drop. And when I come back, Senator Spittle, would you be ready to spit a piece, sir?
I'm locked and loaded.
My man. All right, everybody, if you don't mind, go to mute, and we'll go ahead and get into this.
Healing time. Behind that beautiful smile, I can see it. I can see the pain of slight feelings and torn emotions that was left behind from relationships past. The scars that was left by the emotional assailant, which still generated hurt to the heart's nerve endings, has in some form or fashion affected your everyday living. Unhealed wounds that became infected with mistrust and bitterness has undoubtedly pushed away men that claim they can heal all of your sadness with the right bedroom stroke and maybe a little bit of money to show off. But your emotional scar tissue has increased the gauge of your visual meter, and you immediately dismiss this poor excuse of a man. So because of your past, you choose to be alone for fear that the next man will pick the scabs off old wounds and make them pour out the tears that you thought you were most definitely over. You walk around with this beautiful, beautiful smile, but with a look of please don't approach me because I'm wounded. Then you'll go home and try to drown yourself in Moscato, only to realize the tears are flowing down your face into the very glass that you're holding. The infected wounds of your feelings send an emotional virus to your brain, making you feel like you do not deserve love and that all your relationship problems were just your fault. On top of that, you're constantly hearing the negative conversations from females that are satisfied with being side chicks. And for some reason, their advice at that particular time appears to be right because these are your friends who are giving you this advice and they would never tell you anything wrong, huh? Yeah, right. But there's gonna come a time when a man will appear in your life and it will seem so random, but I promise you it's God's. This man will be ready to go through the struggle of helping you cover your wounds with an ointment of real love and wrap them in a bandage of security. This man will help ease the pain of your past with 800 milligrams of trust that was prescribed for you directly from the pharmacy of his heart. He will use cotton swabs or sweet whispers to remove the negative words that flowed from happily infected people like your side chick friend. You will notice a change in your everyday living. You will notice that the pain of sliced feelings and torn emotions that was left behind from relationships past are healing in a way that can only be remembered if you intentionally dug deep into your heart to search for the scar. You feel something that you felt a long time ago, but your heart is no longer familiar with. This something that you're feeling is called love and real happiness. And it is the antidote for the past pain. Now, when you smile, the only thing I can see behind it is us.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are back to the Epiphany Universe. Raw Links is the sponsor. Why be average when you can be raw? Sinister Spittle, you still with us, brother?
All right, ready to go.
With that being said, sir, the mic is yours.
This is Broken Healer. It's been two lunar anno rotations that grieve Mar this umbrella of transition. Has worn, seen, thin. Majority would dictate how I should behave. Who's crazy? It's my beat. Hey, man, playing fucking double time. Trembles, quakes. There was instances. My heart sank. Stomach, acrobats, besieged every 2 days. These minions engaging sanity. Death dawning can eviscerate your soul. But I won't allow, respecting lineage. Legacies live, and in me prevail. Blessed passings. In my sideways disassociation with trauma, what I knew true came to fruition in radiant hues. It's all in the push-through. Tattered inflictions can capsize bulkheads through biggest ships.
my madness, a raging ocean. There's no linear depiction. So please, anguish, ravish. Not all right, but I'll be okay. Change wakes through fevered night terrors and disorganized verbiage. I'm coherent. Perception is waking to embrace transitions. Silver linings, silver linings, silver linings everywhere. I greeted grief at the door, fought, and then embraced for the sake of love, the mockery breeze.
Dennis, I really like this piece right here, man. I like how you came with a real regal rollout, and then all of a sudden the sinister laugh had came in, and you kind of like went nuts, and then you brought it back into focus. Sideways disassociation with trauma. What's that, brother?
The last 7 years of my life, minus the two. Really minus six, you know. Things got fuck all, you know. And you can either stay fuck all, or you can get right. And sometimes you're held down. Sometimes you're set free. And if you're set free, then only you hold yourself down once you start realizing what was and what is and what could be, right? So I lived a life of gestures, you know, or a marionette's toy for a long time, and the sake of love, and what I thought was love, because, you know, like we spoke on earlier, we get these disenfranchised, disassociated images of what should be, and it becomes trauma because we don't understand what needs to be. And I really don't like that word, but it is what it is. So where do we become after all this, right? Do we stay forsaken, scorned, you know, hate seeping from the bones? The hate can seep from the bones, but you have to let it go. Or does it hold resolve in you? And then you're really back to the fuck all. So it all becomes a discernment, right, and understanding.
Right.
And that's what this piece is about. That's why it's called Broken Healer, because I will always heal. Yeah, I'm never broken. I may bend, but I don't fucking break.
Any feedback for this poem and concerning the discussion we've been having tonight? Now, you talked to me about, in this poem you had talked about rage of emotions and fevered night terrors. I can't remember what was around that. Can you go back and read that portion, those two portions right there? Link them together.
All right. Give me one.
You can go a little bit before and a little bit after if you had to go ahead and put it in the pocket.
All right. Now, my madness, raging ocean. There's no linear depiction, please. Anguish, ravaged. I'm not all right, but I'll be okay. Change awakes through fevered night terrors. I'm disorganized, verbiage. I'm coherent. Perception and awakening to embrace transition. Silver linings everywhere.
And that was the last line I had, too. Silver linings everywhere. Were you being facetious about that, or were you actually starting to look for silver linings everywhere?
No, I've always seen them. But they were always a sliver of silver. Now they're everywhere. You know, now I've embraced the change. I've embraced me. I've embraced the fact that, you know, intimacy doesn't stop with one bad relation, right? No matter how long it was, no matter the root it was in, because it's, you know, it always starts before that. Once you begin to accept why it was and chase it back and understand it, then you can embrace the new. And that's why I brought this piece, because, you know, we kind of got off into this. I'm always the contradiction to it, but I'm not, because at the same time, I'm the acceptance of all, you know, so that's why I brought this piece here.
Appreciate you, brother. All right, man. You were married for quite some time, and it sounded like it was a little tumultuous. How would you avoid some of the how would you avoid some of those pitfalls that you did not have managed to avoid before?
And knowing myself, the problem was I married young, and I thought I needed and did not think of myself. I tell you, any relationship, that's how you avoid the pitfalls. I'm trying to teach my daughter. The next piece of the speed round would be that piece, maybe. It's about realizing your history so you don't repeat it. You know, the past is present if you ignore it. So, you know, that's how you miss those pitfalls, if you pay attention.
Sweet. All right. Avoiding things that would take us, lead us away from intimacy is the next line of question that we're going to go ahead and go into. A lot of these things that we're going over may be something that are pretty readily to everybody else, but your input could go ahead and help somebody else. I think we have a large enough demographic in here right now in order for us to go ahead and have some cross-pollinization in some areas that we wouldn't even imagine. So we're going to go ahead and turn this question out to everybody else. First, I'm going to bring in 240. 240, we'll be with you in just a moment. Go ahead.
Okay.
Say it again, sir.
I said, okay.
Who is this, 240?
Ms. Automatic Charismatic.
All right, brother. Hold on just a minute. We're going to let you get acclimated into this, and we're going to bring you right in. All right. This goes out to whoever wants to go ahead and take this. How do we avoid the pitfalls? Otto, you might have to go ahead and mute your mic, brother. You got some sounds going on in the background.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, your mic is hot.
That's my truck. Okay. Let me mute my mic.
Yes, sir. All right. We find out some things over the years as far as how to go ahead and avoid some of these problems that we had, either due to our own way of being or to the way another person is. What's a good way to go ahead and diffuse a situation before it actually becomes a situation that will lead us away from where we want to be at? And our goal is to always be at that point of peace, I would reckon.
I could jump in here,
pardon. Come on, let's go ahead and get in here.
There were two things that I heard tonight. Our sister Demi saying that she will run if the interview is wrong. You know, our human instinct is to fight or flight. I have been notoriously a runner throughout my life rather than a fighter because I know the consequences of said fighting. When I failed anger management the second time and was told by the judge that I'd have to serve all the time that I've been sentenced to when I was given pass by going to anger management, it became real for me. I cannot choose violence. I cannot fight. As much as I'd like to or my instincts is that to be my go-to, sometimes I have to just walk away. So if walking away from me means that I'm saving you from me, let me. And something that J34 Music said, that he would listen with intent to his spouse, and she would do the same, each of them not speaking while the other one was, so that their thoughts, desires, needs, or situation would be heard. That's important as well, because if I feel like you're not hearing me, one, I will repeat myself. Two, I will raise my voice. And three, I will sit down and not say anything. distance that is worse than being argumentative and combative, because you have no idea what's going on in my head if I don't say. So those are things that I learned along the way about myself. They were flaws, not character flaws, but flaws in relationships. Because sometimes in relationships, what you've done, let's say necessarily with friendships and with, not romantic relationships, but with familiar relationships, with family members, but they would not work in a love relationship. So when we're speaking of dating, marriage, courtship, and things of the such, we have to find ways to stay engaged, to communicate, and to flee or to silence ourselves. So for me, my biggest obstacle has always been not to disengage or to run away. And it's important that I acknowledge that, because I know that those were my go-to. If you know, and this is what Sinister said about himself, he knows himself. He's like, I can be a bit eccentric. I probably can be a bit demanding. But I don't feel like I'm asking for anything that I'm not willing to give. So if compromise is what's needed, then show me that it's worth it. And outside of that, you know, I can get along with people. I just, I side-eye every situation. This is not going to work. Or, yeah, right, I hear what you're saying, but let's see what you do. Trying to refrain from that ideology would be my hardest struggle at this point in my life. Trying to take things at face value, trying to believe what people say, that they're being genuine and not disingenuous. So for me, it's just, and it's more so a fear than anything, and I have to just acknowledge that, the fear of a person saying one thing and doing something else has kept me in that headspace. So I'm working through that now.
You had mentioned something in there that can be a double-edged sword, and it's the word compromise. Sometimes we can compromise ourselves into a box. Sometimes we can feel that we should not compromise with anything if we put somebody else in the box. How have you been learning to balance your compromise?
It's a struggle. Each day has its own challenges. So every day I try to bend, yield, understand, and be more pliable when it comes to my interactions with others, because I tend to be so funny, acting, and standoffish. So to not be that person, I have to surrender part of my control, I guess. Give another person an opportunity to either control the conversation, the narrative, or the energy that's being received. So that, yeah, it's a struggle. It's not easy, but I'm doing a little bit more every day because I'm aware of it.
Got you. I applaud all of that right there, too. I'm going to bring Automatic in here. Hey, thank you. Automatic.
Yes, can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, sir. How important is compromise into keeping a happy relationship?
To be honest with you, that I don't like using the word compromise. I like to use improvise, because I feel like when you compromise, you taking something away from you to be with somebody else. In other words, it's like some of the things you want to do and you like doing, you take that away from yourself. So I like improvising.
When you improvise, does the other person end up being happy in the process?
Yes, because I feel like you work things out. You meet somebody for who they are. You meet somebody, they were this. You know what I mean? I don't try to change someone. See who she is, who she is. I never change my lady. You know what I mean?
We all end up changing each other just by being in contact with each other, if especially if we are being...
Yeah, I mean, we change. I mean, yeah, yes, that's true. We do change. We do change. And that aspect, yes, we do change. I mean, I guess I'm talking about total change.
I got you. You're talking about as far as losing yourself then.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, you know, I feel like, you know, love is a teamwork. I work as a team. You know what I mean? I learned a lot from my homie. I remember what he said, King's Cadence. He was on the radio. He said, never go to sleep mad. Talk it out. So I talk to my woman. I talk it out. When you go mad because you get high blood pressure, steam can build bad health.
Got you, brother.
So,
got you. I'm about to go ahead and open this up to the rest of the callers in here. Compromise. Involved with compromise? Yes, sir. We'll be with you in just a moment as far as spit of peace.
Okay.
I'm big on compromise. I'm very big on compromise because I understand what it feels like to not be worked with and to be worked against. So my person will understand in the very, very beginning of the relationship, it will be an understanding of us having those uncomfortable conversations, and we will come to an agreement that we won't hold anything against one another so that we can have these discussions. It makes all
the
difference.
Is it easy to get a man to have an uncomfortable conversation?
Say again?
Is it easy to get a man to have an uncomfortable conversation?
It is for me to get into.
I heard that.
Because, like I said before, I am a safe space of trust. So people naturally open to me. They always tell me, oh, I feel so comfortable talking to you. And I just let them go ahead and talk. So, yeah.
But does that drain you in the process?
Say again?
But does that drain you in the process?
No, because I'm open to listening. And I can see from both sides of the spectrum. Like I said, I know what it feels like to have someone work against you and not with you. And I don't want people to feel that way. We already have enough stress in the world today, enough trauma. And, you know, patience is our biggest contender. So I remain open. And when a person comes to me, they might have to take that deep breath. It might be uncomfortable for them when they are approaching it, but they already know I can talk to her. I can talk to her about anything. So I'm going to go ahead.
So before the problem arises, you already have the lines of communication open.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is imperative that we keep the lines of communication open. I know what it's like to have somebody shut you out and shut down on you when you are trying to express something that is very dear or very deeply rooted within your heart and in your spirit and your system. It needs to be gotten out. It's like Otto was saying, pressure burst pipes. And
right.
Holding on to things can literally make you sick. I know, because I've gotten sick behind it. It's no fun feeling like that. And it's so hard. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you go ahead, Danielle.
No, it's just so hard nowadays to have a simple conversation. So I can imagine what it feels like when somebody needs to approach me, my partner, whomever it may be, to just have that difficult conversation. You know?
Do you think people are having a bunch of surface conversations then?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Everybody wants a microwave relationship. They want microwave everything nowadays. Quick, fast, and in a hurry. And if it takes time, then it's just, it's not worth their time. This is what you get from people nowadays, because the majority of society is a narcissistic society. It's solo for self. Right. If it don't suit me, I don't want nothing to do with it. You know what I mean? You can't even approach people. You can barely have a halfway decent conversation with them anyway. So, yeah.
All right. I'm loving it. Janice.
I'm here.
The same question to you.
Give that to me.
As far as the compromise line, I forgot how it was framed.
I can't remember how you worded it, but the first thing that came to mind when I heard you say it was that I feel like I recognize more now than ever before that I may be the one that needs that shift. So compromise isn't a problem for me because I see that I need to, you know. Again, I'm in receptive mode. I'm in learning mode. And so my view is too heavily influenced by my experiences. So I need to be open to compromise so that I can grow.
Do you feel that you lost out on opportunities because of that? Or you just feel like it's your next stage of development?
Both. I think both things are true, but more so it is the next stage in development. But, time has started moving faster for me than I ever thought. And so with that, I've been more aware of how I hold myself back, and in that I do miss out. So, the next stage is to grow from learning from whoever is in my circle and being willing to shift how I'm thinking. And I'm open to that.
That can't be very easy because you are a true introvert.
Yeah. I've been stepping out into some creative spaces lately, and that's been not as scary as I thought. So I'm going to do more of that, and I'm going to be able to see that growth the more I do it and the more that I include others in my space and not be so afraid of trying that.
What was the hardest part about getting to that point right there? We're talking about, like, self-intimacy now, for you to go ahead and allow yourself to go ahead and do exactly that. What was trying to stop you from doing that?
My internal dialogue. Like, I will come up with all kinds of excuses to just go back home or to go home instead. And I kind of had to purposely turn that off a little bit, go ahead and make plans. I had to make close-to-home plans, though. I noticed the further I had to travel, the more I had to do, the less likely I would do. So if I give myself little steps, they're accomplishments. They're small accomplishments, and you just build on those. And so, yeah, I had to change my internal dialogue, and I had to give myself options that were manageable, you know, not something that was overwhelming. Just start small and build on that.
Sweet. All right, everybody who's in the audience, if you want to go ahead and join the conversation, you would press the number 1, and it will go ahead and allow you onto the stage. I'll see your hand raised, and we can go ahead and speak to you from that point. Anybody who's listening in online, you have less than 10 minutes, or you're going to hear a British woman come on and tell you thank you and goodbye, and she will be saying it because she is hanging up on you. We call that the Blog Talk Lady. She is a computer that does the stopwatching and stuff like that over there. So if you clicked on the app
and you came into the app and you're on your computer, in 9 minutes, that will be over with for you. If you want to come in here, call 319-527-6300. Once again, 319-527-6300 will get you in here. Well, we will have another hour of cushion that you can go ahead and play with. I'm going to play a track, a poetic track, that is. And then after that, we're going to go into a commercial. And, Danielle, would you mind doing a poem when we come back?
Not at
all. Our last track prior to the break was Paul Cram. I couldn't remember the title.
Where is he at?
It was before our last break.
Everybody whose hand is up is actually active.
No,
right
now. I'm not saying that he's in queue. What I'm saying is you played this track and we didn't acknowledge it.
That was a Healing Time by Paul Cram.
Healing Time.
Gina, for keeping me on track.
Not a problem, partner. That's why I'm here.
You know how it be going sometimes. Don't get brand
it's
new
okay.
to it.
From 0 to 100 real quick.
I know. How are you enjoying the show tonight, sis?
I'm loving this. The moms were listening at one point, and they were both saying, y'all doing a good job. And all I could think was, that's huge, high praise from an older generation. So I feel like we're
like
doing
Nike.
The same.
Right. I'm glad they were enjoying it. And yeah, you know, we're keeping it to a low roar. We weren't saying too much that offended them, were we?
No, never. Very informative.
All right.
So let's go.
Now we about to flip to the B side. Tell them to get away from here. I'm just messing with you.
Not a problem. I have removed myself from their presence.
All right, y'all. We're about to go into this.
Sitting cross-legged, surrounded in sheets of loose leaf, snippets of poetry and prose, anything goes, just so long as it's sincere. I want to see all of you, hear your soul, fold pieces of our pieces, play eeny, meeny, miny, mo. You spit my pieces, and I spit yours. Deep into the cushion of night, maybe we might find an us in our eyes, a we in our smile, an embrace that erases the miles between us, a blush and giggles, while I wiggle closer and closer still to fill your open arms with me. Breathe deeply, like home, like belong, like peace. Like the ease washing over me when you kiss me ever so gently on forehead and cheek. When you speak me beautiful and gift. When you lift chin, look into my eyes. Sigh, and then finally, grace my lips with a trip to where the drip comes from. I taste the sum of my fears on your tongue. The possibilities plus something that feels like danger. Like the stranger I know love to be, plus maybes and what ifs, dangling from the cliffs of these mountains I've built so I won't fall into anything, not love, not dreams, not anything. Tears sting the corners of my eyes and you wonder why something heavy has entered the room. Mon ami, my happiness is always doomed by memory. And these moments to me foreshadow a misery I am far too familiar with. You wanna lift my burdens, but I'm uncertain of our collective ability to do so. They are so very weighty. You would be crazy to even try. And it all makes me wonder why I stopped dating in the first place. I'm sorry I even wasted your time.
Thank you.
Take your socks off at Epiphany Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back. We had to pay some bills as well as play another track because we're not DJs, we're PJs, home jockeys. You just heard from Brother Epiphany. Title of that track is First Date. We're going to go back to our callers who are in queue with their hands raised so that they can join into the discussion, conversation, and spit a poem of their own. Like my partner said, you have less than 2 minutes to call in if you're listening online. So by all means, get off your computer, pick up your telephone, call in to 319-527-6300 and press 1 if you'd like to join the conversation. Partner, back to you.
Hey, appreciate you, sis. I'm going to go ahead and, Danielle, before you do your piece, I'm going to go ahead and bring in 424.
Okay.
424, how about you?
Hey, now what's going on?
Who do we have the honor of bringing in here tonight?
This is Anthony Arnold.
Anthony Arnold, sir. How are you doing today?
Doing okay. Doing okay. Just been kind of chilling out all day.
All right. We need some wisdom off in here. And I think we just got a little bit wiser because we've been talking about some very serious conversations up in here, brother. I'm going to love to hear your input and insights on them. But how much of the show have you heard so far, sir?
Actually, not very much because I forgot you guys would go be on. And I got something from Gina in my inbox. And I said, oh, that's right. They on tonight. So let me get on over here right quick.
Promote. Brother, get strapped in and keep your ears open because we've been asking people different questions about intimacy and communication and stuff like that. We've actually been not only been talking about men and women, we've been talking about, you know, our significant ones in our life, like I told you, and stuff like that. So, brother, we're going to need that wisdom of yours.
All right, then.
All right. Hey, Danielle, you still with us, sister?
I am here. Yes.
You missed your own track being played in. I played you as number two, Danielle. I'm gonna go ahead and put it on rotation, though. With that being said, the mic is yours.
Yeah, thank you. This is called The Star of the Story. Angel, come to me. Let me be part of all the love you are. When the heart is ready, the teacher will come. I found you when I decided to look for myself, and now you're in the spotlight. If heaven has finally dropped me my missing puzzle piece, I want to wake up next to you every time for the rest of my days. I mean, who wouldn't want a piece of heaven to hold when they open their eyes? I want your breath in my hair as I slumber comfortably nestled in your arms, and I want aquatic lovemaking to start the day that I can sweetly reminisce upon throughout. I want to hear your smile through the phone just because you know I'm yours, and wipe your tears to calm your spirit when you feel torn. And be the glue that holds you together when you feel as though you're coming undone. I want to walk and talk and explore the world with you and visit different beaches and sink our toes in different sands. I want to make you laugh, even when you don't want to. But your smile looks good on me. You're the star of the story I love so well. I miss that piece.
Now, this piece right here was doing a lot of that latter thing that I talk about, as far as you do for that person, then that person do for you, and then you do for that person, and you guys are constantly doing things for one another. Like even with my wife, you know, if I see her sit there, and if I even think she's thirsty, or if I just want to go ahead and do a gesture for of something, I would bring her some juice, bring her some water, or if I'm making something in there, just take it in there. And she constantly does the same thing for me. If you're going to have a contest, that's the best one to be in. But it also helps if a person is reciprocal, doesn't it, Danielle?
Absolutely. Now, let me ask you, Jay, is acts of service your only love language, or is that one of them?
That's one of my major love languages. I'm a big person of touch. Also, like things of the mind, stimulation of the mind. If, actually, stimulation of the mind can cause me physical manifestations. I really love I'm a compersion type of person. I can get joy from another person getting joy.
I'm like that myself, so I understand exactly what you're saying, where you're coming from. That's why I asked that question. It's just something about giving and doing something for someone, and they genuinely appreciate it. And they don't always have to smile when you do it. It's just you know by their body language, maybe a look that they give you, or maybe a little smirk, you know, a giggle, or just a simple thank you. It does something for my spirit. It's good. It's like soul food.
Hey, that's a good soul food to have. And you know what? A lot of times people like us, when we are that way with other people, we have a tendency to attract black holes as well. Black holes is a person that you can throw into, and they never get full, and nothing ever comes out. They only accept and take in.
Yeah, we are somewhat healers, and we spread light. We have a light inside of us, and when you do that, you not only attract the good people that are like-minded, but you attract all the broken souls, all of them. That's what they're drawn to, because when you are lost and when you are in need, desperately in need of something, like having a watch, right? That might mean something to you, might not, but you want to get it fixed, right? So where do you take it? We're like repair shops. You take it to the repair shop and put it in their hands. And when they get it back, it's fixed. That's what I kind of look at it as, like a repair shop.
You know what? I used to be angry with people, and this was one of the things I had to change from a person when I was very idealistic about love and what love was. I felt if you kept pouring into a person, that would cause something to change inside of a person. And then all those problems that you were having would magically just go away.
That was a hard lesson for me to learn, too. Takers have no limits. I just look at it that way. And you come to realize it after a while, okay, you know what, it doesn't matter what I do, how much I give, this person is never going to get filled up. They're never going to be satisfied. They're never going to be happy. So,
or reciprocate.
You learn how to. Yeah, absolutely. So you learn how to act accordingly with them. You give them what they give to you and make them see. It's like showing them a mirror. They get angry at it. They get mad about it. But guess what? They start to see. they will definitely start to see, especially when your absence makes more noise than your presence does.
Oh, make them miss you. That's what I used to call it. Like, you about to miss me, man. I'm about to be off your way.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? But that also brings us to damn, why am I getting old like this? I got the attention span of a gnat and the memory of a gnat.
No, it's called wisdom. That's what it's called.
Oh, my wisdom is acting up again. Oh, I was going to talk about investment. How much should we invest into a person that is showing signs of being there, but it's not quite there? And we don't want to fall into a thing where we're meeting a person who know how to make it look like they're almost there also. The question is, for the investment, how far should we go for an investment into another person?
Well, like I said before, my person will have an understanding with me that will have those uncomfortable conversations. So if I have to question you about something that is making me feel uncomfortable, that makes it feel like there's an imbalance, because them going part the way and you are giving so much more of yourself, that's an imbalance. And I don't like that. It does something to me. It messes with my spirit because I'm a thinker, and then I won't be able to sleep. So we're going to talk about it.
You remind me of, well, most givers that I know, they prefer to work from a deficit. But it's a controlled deficit that they feel that, you know, I'm willing to go ahead and do this much more than you. But once you start going past this, then that's too much. Do you work at some type of depth as far as, like, you're willing to give people more than they give you?
I will always give more, always. That's just how I am, because I want people to feel a level of comfortability that I never got, and I know how to do it. So I will always give more, but at the same time, I'm going to let you know, listen, there is a time where I have a capacity, and you will not draw from that anymore. You are going to have to do the work. You're going to have to put in. And I'm going to be here. I'm going to help you all the way, but you're going to have to put that work in. The same way you see me putting the work in, you know what I mean? You're going to have to fill up my cup too. I can't keep pouring into you because eventually it's going to dry up. It ain't going to be nothing left to give to you. And you don't want that. I promise you don't want to miss me. I promise you that.
or get on the bad side of a person who's a giver, because the person can give you their business too. I'm about to get this to Anthony Arnold. Anthony Arnold, sir, how much should we invest into a person who's right there on the cusp of being what we need them to be?
I kind of watch for a little bit to see if they're making an effort to move themselves forward. Now, I tend to be a giver, and I've learned after these two marriages I've had, you tend to have to like Danielle said, you tend to have to measure what you give and what you don't give. But I will watch and see if they're putting forth an effort. At this stage in my life and at this age of my life, one cannot give too much because there's not much left to give. But
are you saying you're more efficient now as far as how you deal with people, as far as what you're willing to invest in?
I have to be. Once you get to my age, you have to be.
Yes, sir.
I mean, you. It's not one of those things to where you can just dive all in. At least I don't, not anymore.
because I was one of those people that did that. I mean, I jumped in with both feet. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. But as you get older, you tend to measure just that much more. And we tend to, as we get older, we tend to get more, let me see, how can I put it? You tend to be a tad bit more careful when it comes to your emotions, when it comes to your feelings. And there is a difference between the two. But you watch very carefully for signs, as if, and you can tell if a person is willing to, like they said, put the work in. And if they're not willing to put the work in, then I don't have the time to sit here and play games, because that's one less day that I have left to do what I need to do, if I plan on doing anything.
Well, I heard that. You want to do what the hell you want to do, though.
Well, yeah, that too. That too.
All
but
right.
Go ahead, Gina.
I would prefer to do it with somebody else, but, you know, no one likes to be alone. No matter what they tell you, no matter what they say, people don't like to be alone. If we were meant to be alone, God would have made one species, and that would have been it. He put two of us here for a reason, and that's just my take on it. But, yeah, as you get older, you tend to get more measured in what you do.
You still there, Gina?
I am. I was listening to Anthony, and all I could think was, Kingpin, you're right. We're older, and we're more in tune with ourselves. I, too, have two ex-spouses. So after you've been married, you know, the first time, the second time, and if you're anticipating a relationship in the future, it doesn't necessarily have to be a marriage, but it has to be right. And I remember making lots of compromises for my husband in order to for them to be happy. Yet at the end of the day, it was miserable. Won't be doing that in the future. And just, you have to be aware of what you've been through and not bring that baggage from those previous love relationships into a new relationship, but also be guarded enough to know that if you see the red flags and the warning signs of something that you've already been through before, this probably is not your person. This is not for you. And it's okay to say no. I had to learn a couple of years ago that no is a complete sentence. I'm an adult. I have the right to say no. And when I do, I don't need to follow that up with any additional information. If I say no, this is going to work for me, then you need to respectfully go on about your life, because I'm at a place where loving me is more important than having someone to love, because that will come. I know it will. It always has. But not loving myself put me in the predicament that I am currently in, where I'm side-eyeing everyone and I don't trust anything that I hear. But I'm not from Missouri, but you got to show me. So I feel you on that. And that's real talk, right? That needs to be said. And people don't say these things because they don't want other people to feel some type of way. But what about your feelings? How are you going to get through the situation if you don't tell your truth? So I salute that.
The one thing I've noticed.
It's on you, brother.
The one thing I've noticed, the compromises that we make in a relationship are quite different from the ones that we make in a marriage, just for the simple reason being in a relationship. If something doesn't go right and you guys can't compromise on whatever the problem is, you can walk away. Most times you can walk away and not follow any repercussions. It's not that like that in a marriage. Because if something goes wrong in a marriage, unless you just got married and you don't really have that much stuff to worry about, you can walk away, and the only thing you have to do is go through a couple of things, get the marriage dissolved or annulled or whatnot. But if you're in one of those marriages that you'd have been married for 10, 15, 20 years, now you got children, you got houses, you got property maybe. There's a whole other bunch of circumstances that you have to deal with. And if you can't come to a conclusion, or you can't figure out what the issue is, you go either run into a whole bunch of money, folks' feelings go get hurt. And I have known times where people end up dying behind stuff like this.
Gotcha.
So
gotcha.
The things that you deal with in relationships are a lot different than what you deal with in marriages. And that's something people don't think about that. People don't think about the end game, so to speak, if I could use that term.
Yes, sir.
And
we have 917 in here now.
Okay.
917. How about you? Who do we have on the line?
Hello, Jared. It's Javette.
Hey, Javette. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Javette. She's one of the members of the Small House of Poetry. We appreciate you for stopping in here tonight, Javette.
Thank you for having me. Hello, Gina. Hey, Shanice.
Hey.
She know people, too. Javette, what do you think, what do people that you talk to throughout the course of the day, what's the feel, what's the temperature, how do people feel about long-term relationships?
Well, I've been around the sun a little longer than most of the people I'm having conversations with, and I think someone used the term earlier, microwave. They don't seem to be that. They start real quick, and they end just as quick. Relationships seems to be a lot harder than it was back in the day.
Does it seem that people are running from honeymoon to honeymoon?
Yes.
As far as like the best part of the relationship, and then once it starts getting real, people are looking for the exit?
I think the mindset of two people coming together, sharing a space, and when something doesn't go right, one wants to run, or they both run. I used to be a runner. Probably still
what
am somewhat.
What changed about running?
It's just easier when you don't feel like dealing with anything. It's just easier to start fresh.
All right. Only one thing about starting fresh all the time, you have to go ahead and break another person in, and then by the time that person gets broken in and the rest of that, then if they don't have the dexterity to just stand in there, but when it's not just honeymoon time, then they want to go ahead and take off. One thing I've noticed about being in a long-term relationship. We're about to go ahead and go to the B side, y'all. About being in a long-term relationship, the person that you got with in the beginning of that relationship and yourself were two different people. Women talk about the man has a person they introduce you to, but there's also women do the same thing as well. We're going to go ahead and call a duck today. Me and my wife had started watching football. Her team was New Orleans. She liked New Orleans. So whenever it wasn't an all-the-time thing, but, you know, when we did it, we did it. One day they were about to come on. I said, hey, I'm about to go make some popcorn, and we're going to get some drinks, and we're going to watch football. And she's like, I don't like no football. And it kind of froze for me. Life kind of froze for me in a hot second right there. And I'm kind of like, oh, shit, I thought you liked football. I ain't even, like, crazy about football, but it was, like, something we did. Also, in the realm and range of sex, in long-term relationships, I don't care how freaky, how this, that, and the other that both parties may be, things do change. Sometimes things can change. For a woman, I'm speaking to men, some things can change for a woman internally for her. It could change hormonally for her. And she's not trying to be a certain way to you. She may not even understand what's exactly going on with her body and why her body feels the way it does. A lot of times women don't want to say that they don't know what's going on with their body. They just go ahead and put it on the aesthetics of what's going on. Fellas, we have to have at that time understanding. It takes time for that understanding to go ahead and take two women. It takes time for that understanding to take. We have to start understanding that we may have to go ahead and not do things the way we were before. And fellas, when we first met that woman, we did everything to go ahead and get into that position. We did everything. We put ourselves out. We did this, we did that, in order to go ahead and get into that position. There's something about once we break that plane, that we slowly start pulling back on our terms of conditions of how we initially got to that place that we got to. And that's very important. How we touch men, how we touch these women, when we rub their backs, when we rub their legs, sometimes we shouldn't expect instant gratification of payment for that. As you start to be in a long-term relationship, you'll see this foreplay may have started weeks before. It may have started weeks before. And when you go into these stores, you see these little things. You know it's something that she likes. Get it for her. That's foreplay, sir. Get that for her. If it's something small that you can go ahead and get and it's not breaking you guys financially, get it for. If it doesn't work for you, if she doesn't respond to that type of thing, at least you gave it a shot. And it's not that you do it one time. Do it over a prolonged period of time. Let her start to adjust and see that, you know, you're trying to do something different. We have to date these women. We just can't expect for these women to go ahead and jump on their back and be ready for us. We have to date these women. We have to make these women want to get on their backs and give it to us. We can't forget that. That's what it took in the beginning. It's like dropping money in the piggy bank. Once it gets to a certain point, it's not going to be like I dropped a quarter and a quarter came out. As long as you drop a quarter in, and $5 falls out. Find out what really helps her. Currently, right now, I've been working with aloe leaves and coconut oil. Those things that are to go ahead and heal the skin. Also, fellas, we can do body contouring as well. if she has a part on her body that you are concerned about, that you don't too much particularly care about, you take your hands and you rub that area. When you rub those areas, what you're doing is you're activating that muscle that's up underneath there. And this is what I talked about in the beginning about how we touch our women. You rub that muscle under there. And while you're rubbing that muscle under there, even though she's not flexing and moving that muscle back and forth, you are doing it. And you will start to see that you're starting to now contour this person that you love's body. It may be to their health benefit, this contour that you're doing. Say if she's leaned over the bed, she's reading a book or something like that, and you see that one of her hips are not set right. Rub that ass cheek. Rub that hip. And we can't always expect for instant gratification. It might be good enough that we made her feel good in that way. I'm going to go ahead and rest this mic down a little bit, and we're going to get back into the are we owed a poem right now? What are we doing? What the hell?
We are. We are.
Hey, went off on a tangent. How come y'all didn't stop me?
No, no, no. It's okay. I'm going to be honest with you. Massages are one thing, but body contouring, that takes it to a deeper level. It's intentional. It's not just, you know, I'll rub you down with some hot oil, babe, in the candlelight, and, you know, let's turn off the lights and get our Teddy Pendergrass on. No, this is, I am helping you function as a human. I see that there's something going on with your body, and I understand that, so I'm going to help you with it so that it doesn't become, this may be a source of pain for her, and you're alleviating that pain. And that pain being reduced could actually be an arousal. I know that I'm at the place in my life where hormonally I'm different. But I'm not saying I run hot and cold, but between night sweats and hot flashes and the up and down of my emotions, you're probably easier to get punched in your throat than for me to be open and receptive to, you know, soft touches. So, yes, we knowing your partner is one thing. Looking out for your partner is something altogether different. And for me, that will be something I look in tune with, not just my heart and my mind, but also my body, and see that I'm going through something. I'm having a change. It may be physical. It may be emotional. It may be hormonal. But whatever that is, if you're in tune to me, you're going to look out for me. I like that. That was necessary. We put Automatic Charismatic over on the comfy couch so that he could chill while we had a conversation with Javette and Anthony Arnold. So after Automatic Charismatic, then Anthony Arnold will have the mic next.
Did we get Danielle? Oh, yeah, we got Danielle. Okay. I was just making sure. I was going through a ton of work.
Okay, partner, I'm here. It's all right.
All right, Gina, go ahead and fly the ship out there, and let's go ahead and make up some ground.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Just Jay and Gina Show. We're here every other Saturday night on Epiphany Radio, part of the Real Entertainment Network. Why be average when you can be raw? Raw Links is our sponsorship. And right now we have Automatic Charismatic, if he has not dozed off, at the mic. Mike is also. Automatic Charismatic, are you on mute, sir?
I hope he ain't flatlined over there.
He may have. You know, he'd be in a truck. For the sake of time, we want to move forward. And with that being said, Kingpin, Anthony Arnold, Michael Jordan.
Peace call tonight's forecast. And they took him to Burger King before they took him to jail. Now back to the studio. Here's the Kingpin with tonight's forecast. Look out. What you see today is a storm. What kind of storm? A storm of love. Let me rain upon you a hurricane of kisses.
from this tropical depression. But by no means are you depressed. I just want your love to come down. Your heart beats like thunder. Your eyes flash like lightning. Your body shakes like an earth ends like a tornado. And then when your body is sated, the rainbow comes out. This has been the Kingpin with tonight's forecast. And that's it, too.
Oh, you got their feet wet tonight, didn't you? Hey, brother, I like the setup on this poem, man. I thought you were about to go in the social justice direction, and then you went ahead and gave us the misdirection and the slip. And you had got over into this woman here. This woman was a force of nature. Tell us about this woman, man, and this poem.
Actually, this was, I was speaking to a young lady at one time, and she kind of reminded me of a hurricane. And I took the opportunity to put down my thoughts on paper. So it was just a young lady that I was acquainted with at the time. Nothing ever came of it, but it was just something that was floating around in the recesses of my mind.
Did you ever go through that period where you had a hankering for crazy women?
Oh, God, yes.
Ain't they the funnest men?
Some of them.
Some until of they them go are, crazy, that is.
I mean, there's some that are okay, but then again, there are some you need to run and hide quickly. I've unfortunately had to deal with both types. But yeah, some of them can be real nice, but then again, there are some. If you have any sense, you will get out and get out quick.
I feel that, man. I really do. Janice, how do you know if a person is not right for you? And you guys have crossed a couple of lines as far as conversations and starting to really get to know each other and know each other's habits. But then you start to see some bad tendencies going on. What do you do in that type of situation?
Good question. This doesn't happen too often because I don't really get the opportunity to connect often. And the times that it has happened, I feel like I recognize it sooner than I used to in the past. And so I'm more responsive. I don't let it like play out for a long period of time. I don't drag it out. Like, I don't necessarily question it, to be honest. I trust what I see and what I'm learning from that person. I give them a chance to be themselves because those first few months or so, that's that representative. And so I don't give excuses for what I'm saying. I accept it for what it is. There's a quote that my mom throws out there to me as far as when a person tells you something once or something to the effect you believe what they're telling you. You know what I mean? So
well, if they show you who you are, believe them.
Yeah. Like I don't question it. I respond accordingly, and it doesn't necessarily mean that I shut a person out, but I shift how I'm interacting with you, and I tend to quietly do that. I tend to drift
backwards. And typically, and in recent past, it's kind of accepted. There's no pushback because one of the things that I'm recognizing is there's a rotation that's happening. And so if I'm in rotation, I let myself fall back. And by the time you come back around, enough time has passed where we can't fake it. You know what I mean? That's all I can pull on. Like, that's what I've experienced recently. I really haven't had the opportunity to go beyond that. And I think that has to do with, you know, I don't know, sometimes I feel like there's this negative thing with single moms. And I don't want to have to prove that someone needs to value that time spent with me. I'm not here to convince you. And so when I recognize, you know, oh, you have so much on your plate, so I'm going to give you space. You give me too much space, then that turns into silence.
Mm-hmm. I feel that. Is silence a form of running away, or is silence just a way of being patient and watching and see what the person even is going to do with the silence?
It can be, but for me, it's not. For me, it's not. I am paying attention. And again, I recognize how people are moving. There are too many instances of people putting others in rotation. And so that silence isn't one-sided. It's kind of mutual. And if it's mutual, then we've answered each other's questions.
And I imagine that the silence would have been earned also.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because if back to the question about, you know, investing, I am going to authentically give and invest regardless of, like, I do the same now that I used to do. The difference is how much time I invest. Like, I recognize the signs so much faster now. And so when I recognize a rotation pattern, I'm falling back because it's necessary.
Gotcha. Sinister, are you still here? Javed, how do you deal with negative patterns that you start to see develop in a person?
So negative patterns, are you saying like my deal breakers? Because I think everyone will have a set of something that may be negative that their other person may or may not like.
Deal breaker.
A deal breaker, I will mention it a few times, that what you are doing is rubbing me the wrong way. And if it continues to happen, I usually bounce. I think that when you mention to someone who is supposed to care about you and express that they care about your feelings, if you mention that something they do hurt you and they continue to do it, I think you're not giving, you're not opening up yourself to the other person's feelings. And I know that is hard for some. It's hard for me with certain things. But a deal breaker is a deal breaker.
Right.
And I'm not sure if Brother Ed is on the line, but I also want to say hi to him.
Sweet, sweet. Hey, what's up, Ed? Good to see you. Ed also has a question for you, Danielle. We're going to get to that question in one moment.
Okay.
So this person that you are today, as far as the deal breakers, when they get involved, this didn't happen overnight, though, did it?
Are you still speaking to me and the deal breakers?
Yeah. the person that you are and how you handle different. Like when we're first learning about relationships, we are kind of idealistic. We allow things to go ahead and develop. We might, as far as us being idealistic, we might figure things might go ahead and work out once this person gets to this one spot that they've been saying, like everything will get better when they get here. But then as we get older, sometimes we're like, oh, that's bullshit. I'm not about to go down there with you.
Yeah.
I know what you do.
Yeah. I probably, so because I was a runner, I have to say that I probably give people a little more time than I used to. But at the end of the day, and it's not really much you can do to bring me back. But again, that's something I'm working on.
That's one thing that men find out also about the resilience of a woman. A lot of times when she's telling you things, if she's starting to finally tell you things, she may have been feeling this way for a very, very long time. And she's finally, it's finally, the iceberg is finally just starting to bob up on your radar. Like, oh, all right, I see it. It's about 3 feet high. But up under it is the bad piggy bank that the guy has been throwing into. And if she's mentioned it now, it's already a critical for her.
I do mention it before it becomes critical now. I know that's unfair to wait until it builds up because that just makes matters worse. Do now allow people time to see if they will adjust. I do now accept that you and your partner have walked individualized, and now that you're walking together, it takes compromise. And conversation, I guess if you can compromise and still have conversations but still find yourself being your authentic self, things can work out.
All right. I'm loving every bit of that. Danya, are you still around?
I'm here.
Ed, he wants to know, how do you keep the balance as far as when you say that you give more than what a person is going to give you? How do you measure who's giving more?
I always give, period, regardless, because I don't really know how not to. And I will see it in their actions, in their words, their body language. What I tell myself going into a relationship is, you know how you are, Danielle. So don't be surprised if they don't give as much as you do. And that's what keeps me balanced. I don't come to expect anything from a person. I just allow you to be who you are. And can I reiterate on what you were talking about the deal breaker thing?
Yes, ma'am.
Deflection is a number one deal breaker with me. If I confront you, I need to talk to you about something, and you are throwing it back at me as if my feelings are invalid or you just had no part to play in it, it's exhausting, and I don't do exhausting. I just can't. That is a definite deal breaker with me. I have dealt with too many people in my lifetime who, I used to call it denial, but it's absolute, it's deflection. People know what they do. They are completely aware, especially when you bring it to their attention. Once it's verbalized, you know what it is. Because you can remember, you were there when you did it. So if you try to push it off onto me, oh, because this and that happened now, I got to suffer. No, I'm just trying to tell you something that you did made me feel uncomfortable or whatever it is. Don't blow it off.
Does it feel like gaslighting when a person is doing that to you? When they're trying to convince you of something, in other words?
Yes, it does. But you know gaslighting is on a whole nother level.
Yeah. But at the same time, if it looks like a duck and quack like a duck, even though it's not a duck, a lot of people are going to say it is.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. You know, people are superstars. It's true. We all wear a mask in the beginning and put on an act, you know, to see, to give a person, as you say, the best of us in the beginning of a relationship. But see, I'm the kind of person, I'm going to dig and I'm going to slide that mask over slowly but surely. And before you know it, I know exactly who you are. You can't keep putting up that front with me. And I'm pretty good with discernment now. I've been blessed with pretty good discernment. So, but I ain't going to take up no more of your time. You got other callers and more conversation.
No, we appreciate what you put in there. And Ed went ahead and he told me he appreciates you. He also said, most will say communications is key to a relationship, but empathy creates the safe space for us to effectively communicate. Otherwise, mm-hmm. we are shutting down and at best arguing. I appreciate mm-hmm. that, Ed.
Thank you.
Ed, who could have came up here and said that, Javette? All right. Who has not spit a poem? They would like to spit a poem.
You.
And I wouldn't like to, though.
Oh, you going to give us some of you. Don't play. Uh-uh.
It's 11 minutes. I don't want to spend 11 minutes.
You're trying to skate there without giving us some. Just stop playing.
Stop playing. Yeah. I tell you what. I got one. Oh, Jay. Don't be like that.
All right, we can do a little mini speed round then, Gina. But I guess we're the last two who haven't spit, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, we were going to double back to Automatic Charismatic, but I think we lost it. He may be,
He's still here. I think he's flatlined. I think Sinister is flatlined, too.
Yeah.
Hey, Auto, you still here, brother?
They had club sleep.
573?
See?
I think that's Sinister. Are we just trying to hit people up who haven't spit as of yet? Are we trying to make sure that...
Well, we got a piece from Sam. We just didn't get a piece from Otto.
From who?
Sinister Spittle gave us a piece. We didn't get a piece from Automatic Charismatic. So right now it's on me and you.
Yeah. All right, cool. Let's go ahead and stop putting it off then. You going to go ahead and take
Was
the first run,
said?
Gina?
No, I'm giving you the mic.
I always take the first run.
All right.
It's called compromise. That being said, the mic is good. One last thing, because everybody mute their mics now. Last night, tonight, we did kind of like an open mic thing where everybody mic stayed lit. This is normally not how we do the room, but we appreciate every. Gina, we haven't had one incident with some mic crazy.
I was unmuted. Right, I was unmuted, and I was talking about the dishes I was doing, and I was like, my bad, I forgot.
All right.
So it was me. But the rest of the callers understood the assignment, and they came through. I couldn't ask for better. So give me the mic, and I'm going to give you my piece.
All right, cool. The mic is yours.
Thank you. I titled this piece Lack of Balance. The sex is bomb. It just ain't enough. He's fine with a banging body, but he's selfish and he's loyal to nobody. She's a little naive and colorful. Her friends say he's taking advantage of you. Her heart's torn. She doesn't know what to do. His role model was a womanizer. With no good example, he couldn't be any wiser. He says he loves his kids, mom, but he don't like her. Her issue is even worse. Mama jumped from man to man. She had low self-esteem and didn't raise her princess to become a queen.
Their lack of balance is evident. Loyalty and commitment are irrelevant. She confuses sex with love. She is a vessel and disposal. She is one of those people that doesn't see their own value but doesn't know it, is worthy of better but can't see, except less than just to have a boo. Even if disrespect and emotional abuse are present, she sees herself as a peasant. She's broken because she believed. He's okay because he lied. It's a vicious cycle of deceit, a broken record now playing on repeat, because neither of them had what the other needed. See, with a lack of balance. That's my piece.
Our love was once a wide open highway. It was previously a wide and spacious road that was started by kids cutting through the grass this way. To hear it is a comical diss track. It's all abstract until it's your story that's being told. Thin line is cold. The precipice volatile venomous spits and they drape like icicle sticks high up atop a bottomless pit. And the path is ever slick. And each step is a potential slip with no handrails to grip. It's like unknowingly going on a one-way trip to the precipice of Everest without a stitch to protect from the elements. My love has dragged me here naked. How could this once love that I vigorously pursued turn about to hunt me? And every shot near my head ends with, eh, I tried to miss. That's her way of saying you promised me happiness. Oh, why has my treasure that was sweet to the palate become face-twisting bitterness, extraness? It all reeks of excrement. My heart groans between screaming expletives as it drops and shatters with no one to pick it up. So I dust myself off, leaving more emotional blood in the dirt. What is my worth? Alive but under the earth. Put it this way, the ground is neutral, then my graph should surely read negative. In this place where I am, there are sure to be raindrops there. Because I am underwater with my constant companion, despair, strapped to a chair at the bottom of the Marianas. I have killed her honor by not being honest, and it is her pain that makes my heart break. She screams, pay attention in class. But the lesson is the handwriting on the wall. Oh. All right. Great little mini speed round there, partner.
Thank you, partner. That was awesome.
Yeah, I kind of let you women off the hook. I had a whole litany of things I wanted to get on the women's case about that men just don't know because women ain't saying, and they expect for us to have extrasensory perception and so on and so forth. But we'll talk about that later because we got like 5 minutes left in this show, and that's an easy hour and a half from right there. Mm-hmm. Y'all got y'all mics open.
You
y'all can go ahead and get y'all mics open. We got 5 minutes.
I found this to be true. In the last month or so, I was being wooed by a gentleman who told me, this was straight up in a conversation we were having about family, because to me, family is everything. And he said that in all the years of his life, he's never said, I love you, to his mother. That wasn't for me a red flag. That was a deal breaker. And I didn't break the connection immediately because I was trying to see how he ended up in this space, where saying I love you to your own mom wasn't a possibility. And then he did this. I called him in tears. And rather than ask what was wrong and why I was crying, he took 8 minutes and 11 seconds. I know I'm petty for watching the clock. 8 minutes and 11 seconds later, he said, what's wrong? Too late. I already blew my nose and moved on. I was just trying to see what it would be like if I were in a situation where I was in pain, whether it be emotional, physical, or spiritual. Would you have my back and listen to me first? If he didn't acknowledge the fact that I was in tears when I called, there was no place I could go with that. And when I say I shut it down that day, I mean there was no trace, no remembrance of our connection. He may have thought that he could fix that later. But he should have met a younger version of me. I don't know if that was fair or if I were arbitrary, but I do know this. I feel better now that I've removed him from my life.
Yeah, sometimes we see the movie, we ain't got to watch the whole thing. Go ahead.
That's true. When we have to make a decision, we come to a crossroad, we have to make a decision. It doesn't matter really too much what feeling is left behind and or the opinion of the person that we are making a decision about. We're making the best choice for ourselves. So don't have regrets. Understand that what you did and the steps you took were what was necessary for you at that time. That's it.
I heard that. We have 2 more minutes. If anybody care to indulge, now will be the time.
Thank you to Danielle, because I was feeling some type of way, but not feeling some type of way enough for me to try to expound upon that or give him some details as to why I disconnected. Yeah, it was a wrap. I'm like, when I'm done, I'm done. Like, I have just cleaned the kitchen. When I dry my hands and walk out the kitchen, it's a wrap. I'm done. The kitchen is good. So as far as I was concerned, there was
anybody
no
else
place for me to go with that.
We try to get the people who are a little bit less apprehensive to throw an elbow to get in. So if anybody who's laying in the cut would like to go ahead and say something, right now might be the time.
Sometimes have to do what you have to do. It may not always be right. It may not always be what you want. But there are just certain times where you have to do what you do for your own mental health and sometimes the mental health of the people that you're dealing with.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
I also want to go ahead and get into the thing of sex. Right, which I know we don't have any time for that because we have like seconds now. But women are very reluctant to go ahead and say a little to the left or a little to the right. Or yes, today would like to be the day that I would like to go ahead and such and such. I don't know if it's the thing of women have gotten used to men just approaching them that way. But when you've been married for so many years, you would think it would not be a thing. But I think it's a universal thing, though. I've heard a lot of guys say this, that, you know, women normally would just want you to read their mind rather than them to go ahead and ask you about that directly.
It has a lot to do with your ego, the male ego, and us wanting to protect it. Some men can be very fragile.
Protected it by not saying nothing.
Because a lot of men feel as though they are just doing the damn thing when they really aren't. And it messes with them when you tell them, not there, baby, go over here, you know. Nope, right? You know, do this. Some men don't take kindly to that. And we don't want to mess up. Well, I mean, at my age, I'm going to tell you, I ain't playing with you. Listen. I ain't feeling it. That ain't it. Move over, right there. Don't move away from there. I told you right there. Okay, now let's go. I'm not playing no game.
Now we can go.
Okay.
You know what? I just got to put this out here to my partner. We need another show on this topic, and then next time, rather than intimacy and conversation, how we communicate, we need to figure out where the breakdown when it comes to sexuality.
I agree. Well,
I'm going to tell y'all like this. Whatever the name of the show is, it's going to be thinly veiled because we don't need no freaks running up in here.
Actually, that might be a crowd.
There you go.
Say it again, brother.
I say, actually, that might be a good thing because then you get to see it from the other side. as mm-hmm. as one who has dibbled and dabbled on both sides, trust me, you may hear a few things that you didn't think of.
You want this one and not this one?
I'm not against that. I feel you on that answer.
Let's get it.
So, don't rule out us freaks yet. But
I'll say this. As creatives, I think we all have the ability to be freaky. Whether or not we express it is up to us as individuals. But we can't give that part of us to everyone. You got to be the right one.
Right. Can't put your lips on everybody.
And the thing about it is, too, everybody can't bring out the freak in everybody else. It takes a certain individual to be able to bring the freak out.
Yeah, you have to be stimulated a certain way.
Yes, ma'am.
Right. I think we talked about
ma'am.
All the lead up to that today as far as when the foreplay starts. What exactly is foreplay? And we heard some different ideas of what foreplay is. We heard one person say, you know, stimulation of the mind. Another person was the quality time. It went across the spectrum. I think we didn't progress to the point where we can have a serious adult conversation about the other end of it as well. Just want to keep it a certain way. We've taken quite some time to build up this culture that we have in here now. We just want to make sure it stays good and wholesome, educational, and clean.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I like the thing that you said about when you're rubbing a certain spot on your wife so that she feels comfortable or releases the tension in that area. It's
right.
not sexual act. It is your love language with her body to make sure that she's good. To me, and it's not every woman, but to me, as far as I'm concerned, if I could just get a man to understand that, that'd be more than half the battle. He'd be almost in there like swimwear. I'm telling you, like, he don't even know. But sometimes you have to lay down the blueprint for you as an individual. I think that we need to look more so at the blueprint than the actual act of sex.
Right.
One thing,
and you know, it's not completely innocent, too, because, you know, if I'm in a certain area and I'm in a certain area and in a certain area, so I'm still doing the massage and the rest of that, but I'm also, yeah, I'm in the pocket. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But what some people don't realize is just because you're giving her a massage or rubbing her in a certain area, it doesn't always mean that she's thinking about sex. But in that same category, depending on how you go and how you continue, it may lead that way. Because I have gotten quite a bit just from just a regular massage. Sex was nowhere near on my mind. But if you do it right, you tend to get rewarded for the fruits of your labor, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely.
Right, that's a bonus round. But, you know,
we
it's an expectation, too.
Yes.
Because we already know how it works. I think it's a video out there where it's a woman, she in the mirror, and she crying, and her face is jacked up. She all sweating from crying. And the guy come in, and he's like, "What's going on?" He's like, "You know, you come in here and you rub my back for a few minutes, and then we go ahead and do something, and then after we do something, then you go to bed." Fellas, we have to get out of the mindset of just because I rubbed you that you're going to have to go ahead and give me something. Now, it's not quite that transactional. We might be shooting ourselves in the foot.
Mm-hmm.
Big facts.
Well, we into overtime now. The studio has shut down.
We need to take care of the mind, body, and soul. And then the sex will come. So I love the fact that we're ending on this thing so that next time we start up, we know what we need to do and how we need to go about it.
a little bit of understanding goes a long way.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
All right, Jenny, you want to go ahead and get us out of here? Oh, go ahead, brother.
No, the only thing I was going to say was that's why we need to talk in the beginning of these relationships or marriages or whatever. You need to express, you need to know what the person is you're dealing with, because eventually it's going to come back to haunt. And if you don't know what you're dealing with, how can you respond in kind?
Mm-hmm. Requires being honest with ourselves too.
Talking is very important.
Hmm.
Yeah, we did some talking tonight. Hopefully, this we all became wiser from this.
I feel like I have learned so much, and I will use this moving forward.
Me too. Javette, you still with us? Take that as a no. You might be on mute. Or might not. Janice, you still with us? And Janice might be out of there. Danielle, you still with us?
I think it's just a few souls.
Yeah, yeah.
I know. How did you enjoy tonight?
I enjoyed it immensely. The part that I could catch, I'm glad I woke up when I did, so I can catch the last hour. Because I was like, damn. You know, sometimes you get in a good sleep and you roll over or you open your eyes and you ain't all the way conscious and you just like, all right, I'm gonna go back to sleep. I got ready to do that, but then I'm like, wait a minute. I enjoyed it because I love to hear, I love to get insight on everybody's situations, their experiences. It gives me a different perspective on things, and I got a lot to say.
We're going to get you ahead next go-round, then. We're going to open up the mics like we did last time, and we're just trying to get it together now. But for the first go round, this worked out pretty good, Danielle.
Okay,
I enjoyed it.
Absolutely.
I did too, sis.
I felt like we needed to do this. I'm so glad we did.
Now, Ed, he said he's talking to you too, Danielle. I had missed this from earlier when we were doing our exchange. Sister must understand we may have been traumatized by his mother or worse. Must understand he may have been traumatized by his mother or worse. There must have been severe emotional soul wounds in the brother that had nothing to do with her. I agree with that. But at the same time, though, if he's jacked up, you have to go ahead and weigh out whether he's going to go ahead and wade through that crap and garbage, which caused him to be emotionally disconnected.
Yeah. I always choose soul over ego anyway. So, you know, I have a certain way of going about talking to a person. I just experienced so much pain and different personalities. I kind of can figure out what to say to them. It just comes natural in me. It's like a second nature. And I'm like an exhale for people. So I get it. I agree.
Yeah. Well, we about to go ahead and shut it down. We didn't beat this dog long enough. And we're going to pick it back up next time. We should take it to another notch until it gets out of hand.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Gina, go ahead and give us the big send-off.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are so happy that you decided to join us this evening for the Just Jay and Gina Show here at the Epiphany Universe on the For Real Entertainment Network, which is Epiphany, and it's sponsored by Raw Links. So why be average when you can be raw? I've got my Raw Links. I hope you have yours too. All I can say is we're not here every Saturday, but every other. If we happen to do a pop-up for Sensual Saturday in the absence of Van Metal, then we'll be here next Saturday as well. But for the most part, you can catch us every other Saturday night. Call in to 319-527-6300 so that you can be in the conversation, press 1. If you're listening as a call-in listener, and if you're online, you know that you have until 10 p.m. Central Standard Time, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to get in queue before the blog talk lady will cut you off. She don't care nothing about you.